Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas, and whether you like it or not, he's back. Yes, Craig Burley will be joining us a little later on in the show, as will Julien Laurent, Sid Lowe, Hercules Gomez, plus Paxton Pomykal, the FC Dallas player, sits down with Taylor Twellman to talk to him about what it's like trying to be professional, trying to maintain training during this period away from the game. We start, though, as we always do, by updating you with what's going on regarding the coronavirus and how it is affecting the footballing world. Well, the Bundesliga have confirmed that players suspended till April the 30th. The UEFA Champions League, Europa League and the Women's Champions League postponed indefinitely, as is the A-League. Meanwhile, Napoli, who are supposed to be training on Wednesday, their training has been suspended indefinitely as well. And I'm sure, as you've heard, the Tokyo Olympics postponed until 2021. A lot of speculation about how the Premier League season is going to finish. This is what Rio Ferdinand had to say on Instagram. I just think the Premier League should be void. Void it. I know there's going to be a lot of Liverpool fans going, oh, Rio, just because you used to play for Manchester United. I just don't see a way that that can be done where health isn't compromised. Simple as that. We all love it, but it ain't life or death. You've got to put people's health before anything. Well, let's welcome Julien Laurent to the show to discuss this. Jules, what do you make of Ferdinand's point?
Well, I think Rio is just expressing a view that a lot of people have here in the UK, which is that if you cannot resume the season in a short time from now on, then what's the point of trying to finishing it? And if you can't finish it, then it has to be void. So we know that the Premier League has officially announced that there will be no football at least until April the 30th, a bit like the Bundesliga have just done today, like you said. But what if, for example, we could not play football again until October? What would you do? Would you still want to finish the 1920 season, which then would mess up the next season, the 2021 one? Or would you just say, well, we can't finish the current one, the 1920 season, so we would have to either void it or find a way of declaring the champions, which should be Liverpool, really, because they're so ahead of everyone, and then declaring the teams that will go into the Europa League, the Champions League, and what you do with promotion and relegation to the Championship and from the Championship. And Rio is saying, and even if we do that, even if we can resume, what about the health of people? That should be the priority. If it's not fully, completely healthy for people to go back and play football, to have staff on the bench, even if you play behind closed doors, we should not resume the season. And then if you can't resume the season, then we have to void it because we won't finish it. So a lot of people share that view. A lot of people as well think that even behind closed doors, we should not play football matches at that kind of level. So we should void it too. So again, you've got different opinions, different views. I'm not sure what we should do until we know a bit better when we will be able to play football, if we can play football at some point. But Rio, certainly for him, is like, if we can't play again very soon, then there's no point finishing it. And if we can't finish it, it has to be void.
You've got to crown Liverpool champions, though.
You have to. I mean, even if you can't finish the season, you can't resume it because, as we've just explained, it might take us a few more months to declare the whole situation completely healthy for people to play football again or basketball or other sports or going back to work in a healthy environment. But even if you can't resume it, you've got 9 games left to play, 10 games, 11, depending on what teams still have games to play. Liverpool are 25 points clear. It would be so unfair not to crown them champions after the season they've just had, the only one defeat at Watford that they've had. Even if you can't resume and play the remaining games of the season, they have to be champions. There's no debate about it.
On a completely different topic, Jules, I'm obviously, like most in the world, a big fan of the Gavin Jules podcast, but yesterday left me flabbergasted. When it came to your top 11 players, beginning with the letter A, playing all their different positions, you decided that Alisson doesn't count as the letter A because his surname is Becker, despite the fact he's called Alisson on his shirt, the fact that everybody calls him Alisson, yet because you wanted a Frenchman in goal, you decided to bend the rules.
No. I didn't bend the rules. Gab Marcotti bent the rules. He was very explicit at the beginning saying, okay, you know, if the first name starts with an A and the surname with something else, that doesn't count. So Alexis Sanchez, for example, he's got Alexis on his shirt. I mean, I don't know who would have put him in their team, but this is not the point here. The point is, his name is Alexis Sanchez. He's got Alexis on his shirt. But Sanchez is his surname, like Becker. You don't call Boris Becker Boris. You know, he was Boris Becker. Alisson Becker is Alisson Becker. His surname is Becker. His first name is Alisson. And because in Brazil, a lot of them use their first name, you know, as their cool name, as their surname, whatever, you use Alisson. But his name is Becker. I'm sorry. Areola should be people's first choice as a goalkeeper with name starting with A. Simple.
So if we're doing greatest ever players, beginning with the letter R, Ronaldinho wouldn't be in there because he's Ronaldinho Gaucho.
No, that's different. That's different. That's not his full name. It's like Pelé. Gab used Pelé in the pod. So now, oh, how would you call him? Oh, the dude is called Edson. Blah, blah, blah. Do you call him Do Nascimento? No, Pelé is different. It's like Romario, like Ronaldinho, like Ronaldo. You know, all of them is like that, right? It's like Cristiano Ronaldo. What he counts as R, not as C, right? Alisson Becker is a bit like Cristiano Ronaldo.
I don't know, Jules. I think you just let Gab bully you on that show continuously. I think you need to stand up for yourself.
I did. That's why I put Areola in and not Alisson.
Well, thank you very much, Jules. By the way, if you want to hear that 4:11, you can download the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast now over on the website. Well, it's something we haven't looked at for a while, but this is how the Premier League looks. Of course, a lot of speculation about how they could play these final few matches to tie up the season. And we welcome Craig Burley back from his vacation. What a moment, Craig. I noticed you haven't been tweeting that much, but you did tweet much sympathy, I saw, to players who may be concerned that playing matches over a short period of time could cause some muscle strains.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily the players, but I read something about some boffin, some expert, was going to warn Premier League officials that you know, trying to squeeze X amount of games into to whatever they might be remaining of the season could cost some serious muscle damage. I mean, what utter garbage. We're in a moment now where, you know, people are obviously fighting for their lives. There's a pandemic around the world, and we have some people feeling sorry potentially for Premier League footballers who should be fit as a fiddle, some of the fittest in the world, having to squeeze a few extra games in, as if that's the biggest problem facing everybody at the moment. I think it just sums up some of the cotton wool that these Premier League players get wrapped up in. It's absolute nonsense. As I said, I think I said it on Twitter, it's an occupational hazard and you've got to do what you've got to do to get the season finished if that's what it takes.
I spoke to Jules earlier about those quotes that Rio Ferdinand put up on Instagram regarding the future of the league, saying that they should just void it now. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I'm not on Instagram, as you know, but is he saying that from a Manchester United perspective or from a football perspective? Because, you know, we've seen some of these ex-Man United players in particular have been grating at the fact how well Liverpool have done this season. But if it's from a purely perspective of what we're facing at the moment, the trials and tribulations, the huge problems that the world is facing, and if it's from that perspective, I could understand that. Look, we don't know where we're going to be in a month's time. We don't know where we're going to be in a day's time, a week's time, never mind a month's time, Dan. So I think it's sit and wait and see at the moment. But I think the way it's looking just now, it is hard to fathom how they're going to get the remaining games, 9 or 10 for some clubs, into the Premier League and into the rest of this season. I mean, if you look at pushing it back, you may look at pushing it back all the way through July. If they could maybe get it to the end of July and finish it then, which is obviously, you know, people are talking about the end of June. I don't think that's going to happen. If you're looking at the end of July, then it gives you a little bit more leeway before you have to make a decision. Then you're looking at least having the whole of August off and you're starting the season a little bit later. But I still think you could condense next season in properly within that time frame. I think once it goes beyond July, and I know there are other implications about, you know, Champions League qualification and all that, you know, pre-qualification, there are other things that needs to be played. But I think once it goes beyond the boundaries of July, at end of July, I think we have a major, major issue here. And I think it's a huge, in a football parlance, Dan, not in a, what we're facing at the moment, but in a football parlance, yeah. Is it a big shame for Liverpool, particularly with the amount of years that there's gone with them not winning the Premier League and with them having such a great season up until when it was stopped, to potentially not have the season finish, from a football point of view, is a huge blow.
But say we can't finish, say this continues, as of course it well could do, you've got to just give Liverpool the title, haven't you? You can't just void the thing.
Well, the trouble is giving Liverpool the title is arguably the easiest job out there, because whilst technically it hasn't happened, they're going to win it. Now, how do you face the other issues? Who's going to get the Champions League spots? You can't just hand them out at the moment, because that's all we had to talk about before this global pandemic came along, because the Champions League spots were the only thing, and relegation, that were keeping the season sort of bubbling. So who goes down? You've got teams from the Championship and leagues below, who, by the way, more importantly, could be facing such financial problems with the layoff and not potentially getting to the Premier League. It's got so many other issues that you have to think about. You know, promotion from the Championship, what's going to happen there? Relegation from the Premier League, what's going to happen there? Who's going to take the European spots? What's going to happen there? The easiest call of all is Liverpool to win the title, because that was going to happen anyway. The rest of it, I have got no idea what they're going to do about it.
Meanwhile, Gray, I'm sure very much at the forefront of your mind throughout your break was, who would I put in the Premier League Hall of Fame? Which midfielders that I've played with or against would I certainly want to see introduced? Well, like it or not, that's the question I'm now asking you, Mr. Burley.
Well, where's your, I gave the answers to the producer the other day. Could he not have just passed them on to you and it could have saved us all a lot of time? I mean, how many do you want? How many do you want? Tell me.
Give me three.
Right. Well, in the Premier League era and playing against them, Roy Keane has to be in there, right? In my opinion. Now you've got a major issue, because you've only given me three and I want a bit more, because I've got, and I think I put this on the list, of at least 10 players, not necessarily midfielders, but 10 Premier League greats. And if I'm looking at midfielders, I'm looking at Lampard, I'm looking at Gerrard, although people say, oh, he didn't win a title at Liverpool, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, he was a wonderful player, won almost everything else, just a great player. Scholes, you're looking at Paul Scholes, and of course one of the guys I found the most difficult to play against was Patrick Vieira from Arsenal. So I think to try and condense those sort of four or five players into three would be difficult, but there's at least five I would say could easily go into the midfielders in a Premier League Hall of Fame. They were all great players.
How many players do you want? Three. Okay, I'll give you five. Greg, great to have you back. Thank you very much. Just a reminder, Craig joins me on Extra Time today. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We've often been critical of Jose Mourinho in the past on this show, but this was pretty cool. Yesterday, you can see him out and about helping the ages who are, of course, contained in their house because of the coronavirus. A really nice touch from the Spurs manager. Of course, we've seen a lot of these examples throughout the world, including Cristiano Ronaldo. He's financed 3 hospital care wings. Him and Jorge Mendes have come together to build these wings in Portugal, who are fighting the coronavirus. Now, speaking of those two, we take it back to this day in history, March 24th, 2012. Ronaldo scored his 100th La Liga goal in a 5-1 win over Real Sociedad. Now, that's the fastest player to reach that milestone in Real Madrid history. This, of course, was a season that Real Madrid won La Liga with a 100-point record, 121 goals scored. That also a La Liga record as well. As we welcome in Sid Lowe to the show. Sid, it's funny, isn't it? You think of Jose Mourinho, that you think of pragmatic, defensive football. It's quite extraordinary. You look at what he did at Real Madrid, of course, ending that run of Pep Guardiola's team. Not only doing it, but doing it in such record-breaking fashion.
Yeah, and of course he's always very keen to remind people of that, not least because he believes, as you've just said in the introduction there, that this is something that gets overlooked. That he believes that at times some of the accusations of a style or of being defensive or of not really wanting his team to attack have not been fair. And of course the best possible evidence he can put forward is, as you say, a 100-point season, 121 goal season. Now of course there are different ways of playing attacking football, and the context of this was partly that this is the era of that great Barcelona team, the era of Spain winning the World Cup and the European Championships twice, and so that while they played attacking football with possession and with close short passing, that Mourinho team, which was very, very attacking at Real Madrid, was also very direct indeed. I don't think I have for a very long time seen a team master the art of the counter-attack quite that, like that team did. Now, on the face of it, of course, it seems absurd to suggest that a team that scored 121 goals were good on the counter, but they really were. They were very, very quick to release the ball. They were incredibly fast up front. They were very clear in their ideas. There's a great phrase that gets used a lot in Spain, vertical. And it doesn't necessarily mean vertical in terms of long ball, but it means that every time you get possession, you're trying to go forwards. And that team, I particularly remember them picking up a huge amount of momentum from the back end of January all the way through to the end of March, going into April, even the final weeks of the season. And they went on a run of kind of 7, 8, 9 wins in a row where they were just relentless week after week. And they weren't always absolutely sparkling, but they just kept on coming at you. And I think in the end that teams couldn't deal with that. Now, of course, in part that's a product of the quality of the players they had, and they had a fantastic squad at the time. But it was also because I think that was the one season when Mourinho was in Spain where he managed to kind of get all of the pieces to fit into place, where he'd managed to get the continuity, and I think managed to convince the players that this was really going to work. And as I say, from the spring into the early summer, that Real Madrid team was absolutely fantastic.
What's his reputation like in Spain now, Sid? Fast forward to 2020, considering what's happened at Manchester United and, of course, most latest at Spurs.
Well, I mean, there's two elements to this. One of them is, as you say, considering what's happened at United and Spurs. And the other, of course, which is probably more powerful in terms of the perception of him, is what happened at Real Madrid, particularly in that final season. And I've said lots of times, and I'll continue to say it, that Jose Mourinho stayed at Real Madrid a season too long. A season that he didn't enjoy, that the players didn't enjoy, that no one truly enjoyed. And I think we all felt that if only he'd gone sooner, the judgments might have been slightly different. But as you say, since then, of course, there's been two failed, or well, one failed at Manchester United, and one where we're still not sure how it'll end at Spurs. And I think that has reinforced the detractors of Mourinho in Spain, that sense that maybe this isn't such a good thing. But there is, and never underestimate this, there's a very significant proportion of Real Madrid fans who really hanker after a return from Mourinho, not just in terms of him being successful, also in terms of kind of like identity and an attitude, and this idea that he's the only person that can kind of take on, if you like, the powers in Spain, take on the dressing room, that can have some of the personality that certain sections of the Real Madrid fans want. That said, as we've talked about before, there are other sections of the Real Madrid fans who think that him coming back would be an absolute disaster.
Sid Lowe, as always, great to hear from you. Just a reminder, ESPN FC will be back on your screens tomorrow with another cast of characters from across the globe. Be sure to go and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Plenty of content over there. Now, as promised, FC Dallas's Paxton Parnicle sits down with Taylor Twellman to talk about what it's like to be a professional footballer in the current environment.
Paxton, I appreciate you taking a few moments joining us. Before we get into your, as this is an unprecedented time for all of us, what you're doing on a daily schedule. Today, the Olympics were officially postponed. What are your initial thoughts around the entire thing?
Yeah, so obviously we knew qualifiers were postponed a little while back. So initially I assumed that with everything going on in the current situation that the Olympics would be close to follow in the same manner. Obviously it's an important thing for us to go qualify, and the Olympics mean a lot to us in the U.S., but I think it was the right decision in the end, and it's not like it's canceled. Obviously, it's postponed 1 year, so we'll still be able to go and enjoy it, hopefully, if we qualify. And, it's bittersweet because, obviously, you want to be able to compete at that level and go play, but in the back of my mind, I know that there's far more precedented matters at hand that need to be handled, and this is on the lowest end of concern right now for us and our society. So
no, absolutely, Paxton, but regarding you on a personal level, with high aspirations for your career, the Olympics is a wonderful stepping stone to further that career, because I know from you and from Luchi Gonzalez and from speaking with FC Dallas that Europe is on that trajectory for you. Does this change it at all now that you kind of lose that platform for a year? Yeah, you still get it, but it's in 2021. Or is it really just the sooner you play games, the better?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little different for us in the soccer community just because the Olympics isn't our only platform to perform, right? And it's like I was having that conversation earlier today. It's like, it's a little bit different for sports and people competing in the Olympics that are solo or individual because this is what they train for their entire lives. And we have our clubs, we have different things we have to go back to. And at the end of the day, national team is secondary, and just being able to play games and, you know, we'll be able to compete and prepare ourselves the same way we would have if it was this summer or next summer, whereas someone that might be in gymnastics, you know, trains 4 years for this and then has to wait another year. So the circumstances are a little different for soccer compared to other sports.
You just used the word perfectly to transition to what you're currently doing. The circumstances have made it very, very difficult for any professional athlete, quite honestly, any human being that's practicing social distancing, of trying to stay active. So presently, what are you doing to stay fit, and what are you doing every day?
Yeah, luckily for me, I have family that live close and in Dallas, so I came home about 5 or 6 days ago to be with family and to stay close and connect with them. And luckily here we have a decent sized backyard with some grass and as well as a treadmill and Peloton, so I'm able to stay fit and do the regimen that FC Dallas has given us, and able to, you know, keep my fitness and get on a ball a little bit in the backyard with my brother. So I'm okay. But, you know, obviously there's guys that live in apartment complexes that their gyms are shut down, and they might not have as many resources to do the workouts that are being provided. So yeah, I'm really fortunate to be able to have all this accessibility to stay fit.
How much contact are you having with FC Dallas, Luchi Gonzalez, the staff and whatnot, currently?
Yeah, we've been keeping in close contact. Obviously that's my second family, so to stay connected with my family is important. And I've reached out and talked to Luchi a little bit, talked to Andre, the technical director, and reached out to a few of the guys. I've been keeping in contact with Reggie, Brandon, Johnny, all these guys, and just making sure that they're okay and doing well, and their families are okay, and, you know, everybody's just trying to do their part. And yeah, like I said, the club's done a really good job of providing workouts for us and sending us videos, and hopefully in the next week or so we're going to start doing video conference chats for different video analysis and different things like that to connect and stay, you know, with the team.
Yeah, just stay on top of it, you know, doing whatever you can. Look, it's the same thing of what we're doing here at ESPN,
having an
interview with you in your closet or wherever you are right now. Paxton,
I'm in my old bedroom.
You play for... yeah, exactly. You play for a former teammate of mine, Luchy Gonzalez, and I've been very surprised at how well he's done at being a teacher. And you've had experience with him with the academy and now at the first team level. What has he meant for your career?
Yeah, I mean, both professional and amateur, he's been instrumental in, you know, my development. I had him for a couple of years in the academy, and we had a really good relationship. And for that to progress now to the professional level, it's been really good for my development. Obviously, last year was kind of the year I started playing a little bit more, and that was the first year he was the coach. And I really like the way he likes to coach teams. He mentors me. He's a really good coach, but as well as... on top of that, like you said, he's a teacher and he wants the best for each and every one of us and to develop and, you know, be the best we can be. So he's really helped me out a lot with not only just my game, but as well as confidence level and, you know, just being a good human.
Paxton, is there a player or two that you model your game after?
Oh, I don't know. I grew up an Arsenal fan, so... I mean, the early to late
2000s. I'm sorry to hear that, by the way.
Yeah. No, it's okay. But the way they used to play and the style of play they had in the late 2000s was kind of like what I modeled my game after. I wouldn't say it was a specific player, but just the way they played, I really liked the... It was beautiful to watch, so that's kind of how I styled my play after.
So, Paxton, all of us, when we play, no matter what levels, you have a vision of where the next level is going to be, the next step of your career is going to be and whatnot. And obviously, you've committed yourself with FC Dallas, and you've made the most of that situation and will look to do so. But when you look down the road 5, 6, 7 years, what is that career going to look like for Paxton?
Yeah, we'll see when we get there. I mean, I know I have goals and dreams and aspirations, but I'm a very present person. I don't like to live too far in the past or the future. So I'm really happy with where I am right now. But obviously, I've always wanted to play in the Champions League. And to do that, you have to go to Europe. But we'll see where the road takes me. But I definitely have a lot more to prove here. And a lot better soccer to be played by myself here before anything happens.
The most important question before I let you go is, have you done the toilet roll challenge yet on social media? I haven't seen it.
I have not yet. I have not done it. I was at my apartment for a while with two rolls of toilet paper, so I wasn't taking any chances on that yet. But now that I'm home, my mom... You know, these moms always stock up on toilet paper, so we'll see if I whip it out.
Well, Paxton, I appreciate you joining us for a few moments. All the best to you and your family. Stay safe, and hopefully we see you out on the field soon.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Taylor. Stay safe, and hopefully we can get back sooner than later.
Thank you very much, guys. Really interesting stuff. Just a reminder, meanwhile, on our YouTube channel, Hercules Gomez sat down and had an extensive interview with DeMarcus Beasley. Here's a clip of that.
So first game versus Portugal. I mean, you're in the lineup. You're looking across from you. You see Figo. You see Rui Costa. You see guys like this. What are you thinking?
Let's go.
Just like that. Let's go.
Just like I was nervous. But I was like, let's go. You know, I remember Ernie talking to me in the hotel before we got in. It was the day of the game, but he's like, "Bees, just play your game." He's like, "Just play your game. Try not to think about the situation. Just play the game. Do what you got. Do what you did to get here. Do the same thing you've been doing the last 2 months that you made his team. Keep doing the same things. You know, just do you." And I said, that talk from Ernie helped, you know.
Ernie Stewart gave you this talk.
Yeah.
And you guys are playing against Portugal, and you guys kind of took an early lead. What are you thinking at this moment?
It was surreal. You couldn't believe that goal went in. Because, you know, Portugal, they were the favorite, one of the favorites to win the World Cup.
That was their gold generation, though. So
exactly. Exactly. So, you know, obviously no one gave us a chance in hell to win this game, you know, and especially obviously us Americans, obviously what happened in 98, no one's looking for us to do anything, you know. So for us to score 1, 2, 3 in the first half, man, it was crazy. So obviously at halftime, you feel like, oh, man, game done. You know, you feel good. You know, all we got to do is hold out for 45 minutes. But, man, that was the longest 45 minutes of my whole career. We had, I think, maybe one shot, I think, after that that first 45 minutes. And after that, we were hanging on for dear life, man. I'm telling you.
And look, Hercules Gomez is with us now. Herc, must be a lot of fun to do this. DeMarcus Beasley, everyone seems to love him.
How could you not love him? He's absolutely one of the all-time greats in U.S. soccer history. It still angers me that he could have been a Penta World Cup participant if not for that failed 2018 campaign. We could have seen 5 World Cups out of DeMarcus Beasley. You saw there in that clip talking about his first World Cup. He was 19 years old, 2002. After that failed 1998 campaign, this U.S. soccer team went on a great run. He shared his experience about facing that golden generation that was Portugal with Rui Costa, with Figo, some of the games leading up to it, what he experienced, the whirlwind of emotions that was. It was really great to catch up with him. We experienced and talked about a lot of different things. It was an hour and a half interview that he gave us. Be sure to check it out.
Wow, an hour and a half with you is a long, long time, Erg. I can tell him that. Can you tell us who next up? Is that a secret, or can you reveal that?
Listen, I've played poker with you for a few hours, and you should know that more than half an hour with me is more than enough. Weston McKennie is up next. We've got a lot lined up. I have yet to confirm the rest, but Weston McKennie will be lined up next. He's a confirmation. We're looking to do an expose with some of the game's best in American soccer, the women, the men, current players, ex-players, maybe some coaches, some general managers. We want to give people some content in these trying times, brighten up their day.
Well, let's hope, you know, this show lasts longer than you at a poker table. Meanwhile, we're looking at some of the players from CONCACAF who are really lighting it up at the moment, and it's led us to the discussion, who is the best? You've got the likes of course, Alfonso Davies, Christian Pulisic, Raul Jimenez, Keylor Navas. Where do you stand on this debate?
It's a great debate. The first time in a long time, there are actually people that you can choose from. It used to be who's the best in CONCACAF, and it'd be a select few from maybe Liga MX, from maybe Major League Soccer, one or two who are playing in Europe, maybe, but now you really have some options. You've got a Keylor Navas, who's, you know, a premier goalkeeper, one of the world's best goalkeepers at PSG now. You have Christian Pulisic at Chelsea, and everything he's done after that record transfer. You have a revitalized Raul Jimenez out of nowhere. Then you've got, well, for me, it's got to be Raul Jimenez. It has to be Raul Jimenez, because I could have said, you know, Alfonso Davies, but he's only been playing since October, and he's in a new position. Let's give him time. I know he destroyed that Chelsea back line, but it's got to be Raul Jimenez and everything he's done. You look at these players and the importance to their team. Well, Raul Jimenez is Wolves. Raul Jimenez, goals, assists. I think there are only 3 other players in the Premier League that, if you combine goals and assists, have more than Raul Jimenez. And they all play in the top 6. Wolves isn't in the top 6. What Raul Jimenez is doing today, we haven't seen in a while. Probably since Chicharito Hernandez and his Manchester United days. He's been that good and clearly the front runner of the best player right now in CONCACAF.
Thank you very much, Herc. Plenty more of Herc over on YouTube. Of course, every week he's joined by Sebastian Salazar and Captain Ali Moreno. Be sure to check out their latest clip on our YouTube channel.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
With thousands of locally owned NAPA stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a NAPA Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at NAPA Online, you can count on NAPA Know-How.
That brings us to the end of today's ESPN FC. Thanks to everyone who's been on. A special thanks to Paxton Palmacore giving us his time and chatting to Taylor Twellman. Thanks to Jules, of course, to Sid Lowe, Hercules Gomez. And we welcome back, didn't we, Craig Burley. Now, if you want more of Craig, and let's face it, who would? But if you're a glutton for punishment, you can check out ESPN FC Extra Time, which is next. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. After what seems like months, Craig, welcome back. How was your holiday?
Horrible. Weather was horrible. Hotel wasn't the best. Had to move rooms on a couple of occasions. All the sort of... And then when we left for vacation, things were relatively calm. Unfortunately, things have just gone absolutely crazy in the week that we were away, and so it was a huge worry. But yeah, not perfect timing. But I booked a holiday. I booked the time off weeks ago, matey. So I wasn't aware, and I wasn't going to not go because I'd spent too much money.
Meanwhile, before we get to your tweets, congratulations today, yeah. Your 25th wedding anniversary, Craig Burley.
I know, it's crazy. It's like, and look where I am. Look where I am. This is my 25th wedding anniversary. Hey, and I did say to her, I says, 25 years you've had to put up with me, and now you're on lockdown. So, I mean, but I tell you what, Dan. Not that it's a good thing, because it's not, but there are no bars and restaurants. As you know, Connecticut, where we are, is in almost total lockdown. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to go out spending money. And all the jewellery shops are closed as well because they're non-essential. So I haven't had to buy any jewellery either. So in some sense, so far, it's been a very cheap 25th anniversary.
Right, let's talk soccer, shall we? Do you think the Liverpool front three needs a facelift? Maybe it's time for one to leave and bring someone in to freshen up things.
I mean, we don't even know if the season's going to finish. But what we do know is that they were a country mile ahead of everybody else, right? So I get it, they might not have been right at the end before it all stopped. They might have been a little bit off colour, but... You know, listen, bringing a Timo Werner in or somebody like that is always a good thing because you want to improve the squad when you're doing well, not when you're doing badly. So it would never be a bad idea to bring somebody in so that you could give, Firmino or Mane or Salah a rest. That's not a bad thing, but they haven't become bad players overnight and need to get the elbow out of the club. That's just nonsense.
Who do you most regret not getting stuck in on? Who did you get after the hardest in practices and games?
Who did I regret not... No, I got stuck in on everybody. I didn't... Yeah. I think I got all my targets. I mean, I don't get into elbowing people off the ball. I don't go into elbowing people down off the ball or stuff like that. I mean, I could have done that to 100 players and they could have done it to me. But I think if anybody was annoying me, I managed to lay one on them in a tackling sense, and I didn't quite hear or I didn't quite understand the second part of that question.
Let's move on then. The best Scottish player that you've played with?
Wow, the best Scottish player that I've played with. Oh God. Might be Gary McAllister. Maybe Gary Mack. I don't know if I missed anybody.
Yeah.
You're good with your Scottish. You're good with your Scottish history. Gary was Scotland captain when I first came along. Yeah. You really know your Scottish football national history, don't you? Paul Lambert, who won a Champions League with Dortmund. Maybe I don't know. You may have realised, but we haven't had that many good ones. We did have some not bad ones, by the way, when in my time. But obviously previous to that, I didn't get a chance to play with Kenny Dalglish or anybody like that. Or I didn't even play with Stevie Nicol because he's 10 years older and he might have made the list. But I would say Gary McAllister.
Question about Stevie a little later on. But first, have you ever played in a back five formation?
Oh, yeah. I played in a back five for Scotland all the time. I played wing back in a back five for Craig Brown for the national team. I won 46 caps, and I think the first, at least 28 of them were in the wing back role. Up and down, up and down. You know, you got to run the full side when you're a wing back. You know, it's the graveyard shift. I played there. I played centre half for Scotland in a back five. I played sweeper for Chelsea in a back five when Ruud Gullit was the manager. So yeah, I played in a back five. Although it wasn't my natural position, I played there at international level quite a lot, and I hated it. Absolutely hated it.
Golf then. Are you practicing in your yard now that everything is on lockdown?
Now we're talking. Well, I played golf. The golf course opened in mid-March. The one I'm a member of, and Stevie, and Ali. Won't give it away. And I got five rounds in. I got five rounds in before the lockdown. Now it's been snowing as well, so we're super stuffed. So yeah, a bit frustrating, but managed to get five rounds in. Social distancing as well. I made sure Nicol was in the cart and a different cart from me. I wiped the carts down, and I wiped Nicol down just in case, because you got to be careful with him. So we were practicing all the proper protocols when we were out golfing.
What do you think of belly and chest putters?
Well, I ain't got an issue. I mean, to be honest, again, it's I haven't waken up every morning at the moment thinking, oh, I'm really concerned about those belly and chest putters. We really must get those out of the game. So Stevie uses a, we call it an anchor putter, but he doesn't anchor it. It wouldn't matter what he used anyway, to be quite frank. He uses one. I don't mind. I know the professionals have got a bit of an issue with it, but I think from an amateur perspective, it's not a big problem. Mind you, if anyone ever gets a chance to see you putting, then that's worth paying money for.
I hate putting so much. My head goes. It's terrible. Yes. Those little, inches. Yes. It's, are horrible.
Wow. Say nothing.
Right, final question, and it's about your golfing partner. Yeah. Is Stevie not on the show because he has issues with the technology needed these days?
Well, as we both know, the technology has been installed this morning. I've heard from our colleagues, was installed at Stephen's house, not far from where I'm sitting now, maybe 10 minutes. However, as you know, and everybody that works with Nicol, the installation is only part one of what's going to be a majorly long epic, because unless somebody comes round to his house from ESPN, which isn't going to happen, how the hell is he going to switch it on and get it all working? You know, and I know, Dan, that this equipment here is relatively complex stuff, you know. It's not just a matter of sticking something behind us and a camera. It's quite complex to get on and off. And I'm going to be amazed. Tell me, when is Stevie on tomorrow? I don't know when Stevie's on, but I want to follow this. I want to follow it. I can't. I was going to say I'll go around his house. I'm not allowed. But you know and I know, when the producer calls him and says, right, I need you to be ready to go at this time, you know, and I know, and everybody else that knows him, he's going to make an absolute pig's ear of it. He'll be up there, his missus will be up there, the dogs will be up there, the cat will be up there, the grandkids will be up there. They'll all be trying to figure it out. And between the lot of them, I'm telling you now, they're not going to be able to get him on air. I'm telling you. Mark my words.
And obviously people don't know, Stevie has got massive dogs who over recent weeks have started fighting each other quite seriously.
Yeah.
And one time he's trying to separate one, his wife's trying to separate the other. In the meantime, the cat for some reason's bitten his wife. If all that happens behind it, I tell you what, we will never have to work again. We could just sell that clip, it goes viral, we'll make a fortune.
As I said, listen, we don't even need to be doing this. Just send the cameras, send some mobile cameras around, set them up in his house, and we've got as much content as we need for the next 2, 3, or 4 weeks anyway. You know that, and I know that. And by the way, he knows that as well. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun watching how he's going to try and get on air from his house in Connecticut. Trust me.
Great, good to have you back, mate. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your wedding anniversary. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Will Steve Nichol, the dogs, and his wife and the cat be with us as well? Be sure to join us to find out.